chapter number 10. Very familiar scripture here. There's times that you preach, and God gives you something to say, and then there's times that God stamps on that message urgent delivery. And that's what I felt this morning. Hosea chapter number 10, when you find your place, say amen. In verse number 1, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altar. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty, and he shall break down their altars, and he shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we fear not the Lord. What then shall be king, a king do unto us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making covenant. Thus, judgment springeth up as a hemlock in the furrows of the field. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed in wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a turmoil arise among you, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled. I want to read back over a passage of scripture here, where the Bible said concerning this, he said, and their heart is divided. The Lord help me. I want to preach this morning on the tragedy of a divided heart. The tragedy of a divided heart. Would you stretch your hands this way one more time and ask God to graciously stand by us and help us. Oh, Father, I need your help. I need a visitation of the Holy Ghost and of the Spirit of the living God to move in this service and to help us. Oh, God, visit us, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us here concerning the writing here of Hosea, dealing with the sin of the people, and how their hearts were so divided. We live in a generation where one day we feel up to serving God, and then the next day we don't feel like serving God. There's never been a more generation that's halted between two opinions. Never have there been a time between the faces of our young people. Do they face such pressure? Do you want to serve God, or do you want to go the way of the world? It seems as though, and I speak not as a fool here, concerning the day and the hour that you and I live in. I'm reading of history. There's a time when revival swept this country. Any man seemed to be pinned toward God. It seemed as though the presence of God would wrap him up. The Spirit of the Lord would deal with him. It seemed as though just a mere church service brought such conviction in the house of God. And men would come to church and quake by the fact that they know in that judgment day is about to come. I'm going to give an account to God for the deeds of my life. I'm going to give an account to God for what I say and what I've done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'm going to stand before the barroom judgment of God. But we have slipped into a generation who do not fear the Lord, who do not take the counsel of God, who do not care whether God is going to judge them. It seems as though the fear of the Lord has removed itself from out of their sight. They do not seek to be acquainted with God's presence. They do not seek to be acquainted with the fear and the tragedy of living such a divided life. Oh, there's never been a time, and I must somehow get it to the point where you and I can agree to see it, that we live in a society where they have a church life and then they have a world life. They live in a society where they got a form of religion. That's where falls in. They have a form of religion, but they deny the power thereof. What is denying the power thereof? I'll tell you what that denying of the power thereof is. It is simply the fact that they are denying the fact that God has ever touched me, that I've ever been saved, that I've ever felt the presence of God. Hear me in this house. I want to preach to you the burden of my soul. It is a horrible tragedy for you to live with a divided heart, for a heart that does not want to submit under the will of God. Hosea, help me, Lord. Hosea dealing with the sin of the people. Here he sees them. I know some of y'all don't want to come to grips with it, but this is the man that God spoke to. He did not tell him to go down and get him a virgin off the street corner, but he told him to go down, and he told him, he said, find you a harlot, and he said, marry her. And then the Bible says that he married this harlot, and when he married this harlot, all the tears, the weeping of marrying a divided hearted individual. Can I preach this to you? If you have not been fully saved, you will always lean toward backsliding. You will always lean toward giving up. Pressure will always have a havoc and rage in your life. But when your heart is committed to God and you have sold out to Calvary and under the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no way possible that you would want to live anywhere but in the will of God, anywhere but in the purpose of God. But when your heart is divided, you're always looking for an exit route, for a way out, a way away from God. Stay with me just a minute. The Bible says, and I didn't think it'll fly real high, but the Bible said to the Lord, told Hosea, he said, you go marry you a woman, a wife of the whoredoms. Come on here. I mean, any of you big enough to jump on God? God said, I want a man that can feel what I'm feeling. I want a man to see what I'm seeing. Hear me in this house. There's not an individual in this building that would even do that. But this man of God was using it for a connotation to parallel the gospel in the hope of redeeming the souls of men. When Hosea, thou Gomer, out there on the street, but selling her body, but selling her life under sin and iniquity, he wept bitterly. I want you to know, every time you transgress against the law of God, he breaks his heart. The Bible said you crucify the Son of God afresh. But it don't bother us. A divided heart never has real feelings. Come on here. I said a divided heart never has real feelings. They're moved only by emotion. They are not moved by heartfelt experience. Who hear me in this house? I feel to preach this if I've never preached anything in my life. What is the matter with me, preacher? Why am I feel like I'm falling in such horrible shape spiritually? Why do I feel like God's moved Himself a million miles away from me? I must check my heart and see that it did not deceive me, and see that it don't lead me astray. For a divided heart, it lies under the flesh. Why crucifies the spirit? Why destroys the character of a Christian and abolishes the hope of an eternity with God? I fear that we have moved into a society while standing out there praying. I remember, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I brought complaints before the Lord, Brother Terry, and I begin to complain about this corner up here. I begin to pray. And I said, God, I said, I've got men that are sitting on that platform. There ain't men in everything I'm saying. But when it comes down to their hearts, they're not committed to you. Oh, it broke my heart. Hear me in this house. I may be under the gun of pressure. You may be under the gun of pressure. But I want you to know one thing. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Hear me in this house. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, the Bible teaches us. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look at me in this house. I cast my treasure under the old rugged cross. I cast in my counterfeit living, my hypocritical life. I cast in my lost hopes, my broken dreams, my sorrows. I got my son of a horse. I cast it in at Calvary, and He gave me something that is real. So when pressure comes, withdrawing from Calvary is not an option. Because I've cast my lot with the chosen few. Tell me while I preach. We're living in that divided hour. Come on, Bethel. You know why you're such in a stalemate? I'll tell you why. Your heart's not committed. You've not committed everything you've got to God. God, say amen anyhow. I'm telling you, with a little bit of pressure, it'll quieten you down. It'll run you away from the church. If I can't pray, if I can't sing, if I can't shout, if I can't preach, if I can't run, if I can't do this, I'm a looking somewhere else. I'm a master to my head. Your heart is divided. When he looked over there at Israel, and he said concerning Israel, he said, he is an empty vine. I know it. And I'm very careful with what I'm about to say. I'm very careful with it. But you made this statement, and a human being in this building spoke it to me. You hear me in this house? You made this statement. If they're so right, let them have my pressure. Divided heart wants to fight. Oh, you ain't with me. You're on your feet, but you ain't with me. Oh, no. I can see it all over you. Oh, if I was preaching everything outward, I'd have you clapping your hands and saying amen. But I've done tapped into the root where your soul's at, and you don't want to shout with it. You don't want to say nothing about it. That's why some of you young girls keep the magazines you keep. That's why some of you keep the love story books you keep. That's why some of you go right back to your house and you watch that same old rotten television. Why is it? I'll tell you why it is. I ain't really committed it in my heart that I want to serve God, that I want to be like God. I want God's character living inside of me. I want to be molded. I want to be in the image of God. You can't do it when your heart's divided. You gotta have a submitted heart unto God. He told Israel, he said, Israel, it's an empty vine. Oh, seems like a strange text there. When he said he's an empty vine. But then he also says he bears fruit unto himself. What is it staring this little face of mine? What is it that you ain't a-doing that makes you feel like running? He bears fruit unto himself. Anybody feel it tightened up right there? Huh? Anybody feel it squeeze right there? The Bible says, I know some of you don't want to dance to it, but one man, righteousness, it helps many. But he said, one sinner destroyeth much good. Why do we preach? Forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm telling you, in this house, there is a reason. Because sin wants to divide you. It wants to break your heart's will from trusting God and believing in the Lord. It wants to break it in half and submit you unto the nature of hell. Get a microphone. What did he say in verse 1? Read it. Israel.
Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself.
He bringeth forth fruit. Stay there. Unto himself. Everything he does, it exalts him. Everything he says, it praises the work of his hands. Oh, hallelujah. I said, oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm not ignorant. I had a visitor this morning, and it was after 5 o'clock before I was able to lay back down. I'm telling you, tragedy is ahead in your way because your heart is divided. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. I know you love the fish. But if the fish can hear you shout better than the saints of God can hear you shout because you catch a fish. Come on here. Don't mess with it. You can't handle it. I mean, when your little pay raise jumped skyrocket high, you're making more money now than you've ever made in your life. But now you're committed. You want to serve God. I want to tell you, these earthly things, they'll pass away. But when your soul is in guiding matters, that's going to cost you an eternity. That's going to separate you from God. You better get yourself fixed with God. You better get yourself situated and quit bearing fruit unto yourself. The judgment of an eternal God, it'll find you, it'll come to your house, it'll destroy the field and the labor of your hands. He bears fruit unto himself. Well, I've always been the song leader. If I can't lead, I'm going somewhere else. Come on, here. Feel like I can use him and he won't get mad at me. Wish I could say that for everybody. But if that book and that stand is what's tying you to the old rugged cross, you ain't never been tied. Hallelujah. I said, you ain't never been tied. You're just in it for what Ephraim said. He's an empty vine. He bears fruit unto himself. He does what he wants for himself. He exalts himself. I feel the Holy Ghost to preach this. That's why pride is a running havoc in your life. That's why you won't come to this altar when the Lord calls. It's because pride, it has stopped you. It don't make you want to submit. A divided heart always lies under the conviction, under the Spirit of God. It always lies to God. That's not my problem. Ain't a man in this building, it's outside of character. You hear me? And a man in this building, unless he's got an honest heart, I'll walk up and shake his hand and say, what your problem is, you are full of jealousy. You won't say, yeah, you're right, preacher. That's my biggest problem. I'm full of jealousy. I'm jealous because I'm not bearing fruit. Well, if I ever felt the Holy Ghost preach, I'm telling you, that's why your tree in your sight looks empty, because you're not doing nothing to it. Come on, wake up and help me. That's right. If you're in position, you feel the fruit is hanging from your vine. When you feel that you are being exalted, Israel then steps up to plate. He has all the answers. I feel the preachness. My wife read it to me last night, way before the storm. But you hear me in this house. One man said one time, the best way to lose friends is to win all the arguments, for you to always be right and everybody else to be wrong. You better pray today. I'm going to tell you something. And the Holy Ghost stand by me when I say this. Some of you in this building, it ain't going to take a pack of cigarettes to get you out of church. Some of you in this house, it ain't going to take another can of beer to get you out of church. It's going to be the pressure of your mind. Because your heart is so divided. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. You hear me in this house? I said, that is what's going to happen. You'll not go out over a pair of scissors. You'll not go out over a miniskirt. You got enough. Are you hearing me? Look at me. You got enough inside of you right now to keep the hour right. But you ain't got enough to stop the splitting of your heart, the separating of your will onto the will of God. You don't have it. Ephraim, he is a cake not turned. What does he mean, he's a cake not turned? He's cooking hot when he's among the ones he likes. But when he's among the ones, he's just as raw as they are. Come on here. When he gets to the place where a little bit of pressure, say amen in the house. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost standing by me. I'm telling you, when he comes in and he says, come here, I want to tell you this little dirty joke. Ephraim is willing to walk with him and hear the filth and the rot. Are you hearing me in this house? But oh, but when Ephraim's among everybody else, he is just as holy as they are. He's just as righteous as they are. When Hosea looked at him, he said, their heart is divided. Their heart is split. Oh, God, help us to not let my life be one way in the church and another way outside of the house of God. He bringeth, read on, give me time to preach this, fruit unto himself. Everything he does, it speaks. Read on.
According to the multitude of his fruit.
Oh, preacher, I put more money in that church than anybody. Come on, preacher. That church is indebted to me. Stay there. Don't leave me yet. There was a time, and I'm going to blow your bubble for you, sir. Ma'am, I want to tell you something. I look at the tithes records. I ain't an ignorant preacher. You didn't hire me. God called me, and you ain't going to fire me either. Come on here. Maybe some years ago, it's going to rub you raw here. Some years ago, you might have been the biggest tithe payer, but you ain't no more. These little men and women in this house, it looks like they're getting by week. They're putting more into the house of God than you are. Oh, I can't see that preacher. Oh, that's all right. He's watching it. That's why you see things happen for them. That's why you see the kingdom of God set upon you. I feel the Holy Ghost to preach this. The fruit of your field, sir, is your children. It's your home. It's your life. And when you withhold of God by a divided heart, you're cursing your family. Oh, God. It ain't something brand new. It ain't something that just all of a sudden cropped up. 1 Kings 18 and 21. Elijah stood before them people and he said, how long? Oh, gee. Come on, look at me. Some of you are doing your best not to stare this way. I'm telling you, the devil of sickness is running havoc in your mind. He's telling you you're worse off than you are. And the Holy Ghost said to tell you, if you leave your heart at Calvary, I'm not only big enough to control your heart,
I'm big enough to control your life.
It may not be what you want, but I feel something moving in me. It's bigger than I am. Hosea preached to them. That wasn't the first time. I'll tell you what the first time, some of the first. When Elijah looked at them and said, how long, Hoshi, between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, serve Him. Come here, Brother Brent, Brother Russell, Brother Larry. Get my man by the arms. Stretch him out. I mean, he can take it. He's been in the army. I mean, stretch him out. He said, that's where you're at. That's where I see you. You're wanting to go with God, but you can't commit yourself to go with God. Because if you go with God, you're going to have to let go with what's on the left hand and yield to yourself to go with the right side. But to go with the left side, you must release yourself of God's rule, God's leadership, the presence of God, the power of God, the Holy Ghost, the defender of the faith, the keeper of the family, the doctor of my life, the savior of my soul, the captain of our salvation. I must lose Him to embrace the divided heart. I ain't get a lot of feedback today. Jesus even made mention of it. Matthew 6:24. Go wrong with Sunday school lessons. Some of y'all don't want to dance to this, but that's quite all right. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He will either love God and hate mammon, or he'll love mammon and hate God. Anybody know what mammon means?
Somebody say it out loud.
That means money. Look up your Greek. And what he literally said was, a man can't love his money and love God at the same time. Wow. Oh. Poor boys like me and you, that makes us shout. Rich folks, it makes them upset. They don't like it. I mean, they can't handle it. I mean, hey, I mean, there's some of you got a high estimate of yourself, but if you want to erase the credit cards, you might go standing where some of us stand. You might start feeling like some of us feel. I can't make it, Lord, without you. I've got to have your help. If you don't put meal in this barrel, me and my son's going to eat this little bit and die. But oh, can I tell you in this house, when your heart's committed unto God, it doesn't matter what's in the cupboard. It doesn't matter if the lights are burning. It doesn't even matter if I got gas in the automobile. The fact of the matter is, I'm a man of treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot get in and corrupt it. My God, I wish the Holy Ghost would get a hold of your heart and reveal you to yourself. Divide it. Come to the piano. A divided heart. It's a tragedy of all tragedies. Nothing is more sorrowful when the Bible said he bringeth fruit unto his own self. He increases upon his own altars. Anybody know why God slayed Cain? The Bible said because he had respect unto Abel's offering more than Cain. Cain's offering was what he did. What he peeled and worked out. Come on, stare at me. You ever heard anybody make your statement? I've worked in that church. I've gave the best years of my life to that church. I put money in that church. If it wasn't for me, things wouldn't be happening. Oh, you mean to tell me you're bigger than God? God just found you as a channel. That's all He did. You was a debtor and you had to pay debt. Say amen anyhow. Come on here. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here. I could preach another hour. I ain't preached for about 40 minutes here. 30 at the most. But what's the matter, preacher? I'm troubled that you're so divided. I'm bothered that the reason you see that you can't get the Holy Ghost is because you live a double standard. I'm convinced that a reason a lot of husbands ain't saved that are lost, it's not that because they don't want God. Maybe their example of God ain't what it should be.
Amen.
I've said it 1,000 times over. A cigarette smoker has got just about as good a chance of going to heaven as a bossy woman. Some of you women saying amen, but your house lives in contention all the time. There's no peace in your home. I ain't got no husband to argue with. You're so beside yourself and divided, you can't even stand yourself. When it comes down to the wire, and I'm going to face God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Ma'am, I'd quit church if I was you. That's a bold statement for a preacher to make. But before I'd be labeled a hypocrite, I'd go on and act like a sinner. Tight there, ain't it? You got two choices. You can either keep deceiving yourself and go to judgment with the blood of others on your hands, or you can fall on this altar and say, God, I've got a divided heart. And I need to be saved and made whole. Sister, that's a big statement for folks to make after they've been in church 15, 20 years. I've let sin divide me. I'm going to meet God in judgment for what I'm preaching. But you ain't getting by Him. You ain't getting past Him. When He said He'd bring His fruit unto Himself. How long have you been saved, Brother Ollie? How many years? Just give me the years. 10 years. 10 years. But you start living a double life. And I walk up to you and say, you can't play the guitar on this platform anymore. And then you walk out of this church, bow your chest out, I've done my best for them. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost reading somebody's mail in this house. And the Spirit of God is going to stand by me when there's some things I'm going to say this morning. And the Holy Ghost fell the other night. He put conviction on Brother Jeff, and he was man enough to admit it. You're not man enough yet, sir. Your pride is stopping you. And your pride's going to send you to hell. You want to be bad, Brother Terry? As long as things are going good, everything's good with you and God. But the Lord spoke to my heart at 3 something this morning. He said, tell Him I want to trust Him when the fire's there. We make our brags. I'm going to stay saved no matter what comes or goes. But then what comes, our feet start getting shaking. Our hands start trembling at the plow. And our head starts at tilt and mold, looking behind us. No man, having put his hands to the plow, looketh back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Preacher, where are you headed? I'll tell you exactly where I'm headed. I'm headed right here to this one point. And he said they offer to themselves goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. What do you mean? You ain't going to be able to remove your guilt. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now, they shall say, he said, after I bring judgment on them, then they're willing to admit, we sinned against you, God. Why must you live always under the thumb of God's vengeance? How come you choose not to live under the mercy of God? How come it's always a threat before you can say, I'm in bad shape, preacher, I need help? Sin made you so hard that you're willing to confess a lie in the face of an atmosphere of an almighty God. They have spoken words, swearing falsely in making covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as a hemlock in the furrows of the field. Anybody know what that hemlock is? It was a small, tiny, poisonous plant. Its leaves, oh, I love the Lord. Its leaves were so fine, but they were divided leaves. It wasn't just the stem and the leaf, but that hemlock had a pretty white flower. Its deception was so beautiful. God said, I'm going to plant it in their vineyard. And what they think is going to grow and prosper them is going to be poison because they have forsaken me. Let's get the Lord here. He said, preacher, why are you preaching it like this? He said, I'm a jealous God. And I'll share my glory with no one. If you claim to be saved, he's not sharing you with yourself or with this world. Oh, I want to be full of the Spirit. I want to be full of the Spirit is the cry we hear. But when it comes to demand of the Spirit, submit yourself therefore unto God. We're not as all apt to jump up and say, let me have it. You know why we're fighting pressure, Sister Brenda? I'll tell you why we're fighting them. Because we're trusting in ourselves. Well, God knows I got enough laid up back here. I've prayed enough back here to help carry me over up here. And if I don't pray today, it's all right, no big deal. I got enough to hold on to. Oh, what a fool. Oh, what a fool. I know it's tight. Sin has always held a nation, a country, at bay. When it comes to the decision, sir, will you give your heart to God? Will you forsake your sin? I know some of you don't want to admit this, but I'd rather chunk garbage, ride on the back of a garbage truck and make a living. You won't do it because your pride won't let you. I'd rather drive a garbage truck, Stand on the back of a garbage truck and run up and get somebody else's trash. And have peace in my soul. And know I'm saved. And know I'm born again. And when this life is over, I'm going to heaven. Then to wait for my last breath to come and me die and go to hell. I said, preacher, you lost your mind. You'll never stoop that low. You don't know me. You only think you know me. I didn't drive no roll off. I drove a garbage truck. I backed that garbage truck up in my backyard, did I not? Pastoring this church. Preaching. The Marine base was my district out that area, even on the base. I'm talking 20 years ago. I'd run out there, park about three houses up, and me and another black gentleman, I'd jump out of the truck and I'd run, grab a can, dump it, set it back down, run, grab a can, dump it, set it back down, jump back in the truck and pull up a little further. You don't know me. But I'd rather go back to that than I had to lose my soul and go to hell. You're trusting in the shadow of your own strength. And you're going to fall flat to your face. Don't you stand with me all over this house. Sir. Ma'am. Everyone hold off before you go out. Let me finish this. Today, what you won't commit to, tomorrow you're going to want to admit that that's me. Maybe I missed it this morning. Maybe it's just the wind bothered me. Divided heart never submits to the will of God, much less the perfect will of God. And he said in verse 4, he said they make a covenant with their mouth, with their words. But knowing deep down in their heart, I'm not going to fulfill this. I'm not going to keep up with this. I feel the Lord here. How can I get your children to be honest with God when I can't get you to be honest? How can I get them to come to the altar and pray and make a change when they see no change in you? The only time they see a change in you is when you're bearing fruit to yourself. Then our church is the best church you've ever seen. But when I ain't bearing fruit to myself, maybe it's time for me to move on. Lie to the Holy Ghost. You've talked it in front of your children and you can learn and tell everybody you said that ain't true. But I'll take him before I will you. He's never lied. Preacher, what's the matter? When he said these things, he said their heart is divided closely. Listen to this. They want to serve God and mammon, Jehovah and Baal. But this is impossible. Now God will judge them in what they should have took care of in their submission to God. They should have tore down the idols of their own heart. They should have broke down the idols on their altars themselves. For when the Lord comes to tear down your idols, There's not a man living that can stop the vengeance of an almighty God. No one can. Help me here while I preach. My soul is stirred, moved inside of me in such a way that I feel haughty men on this platform. You're headed out and you can't even see it. Because you said, preacher, I'm not even in that bad a shape as you say I am. I hear what's going on up here.